Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shur. Meseches Yoma has been dedicated by Dr. and Mrs. Robert Goodman. Le'iloi Nishmas, Chaim Menachem Aharon ben Yecheskel Nechemya.
Yuma Daf Lamed Hey. The Mishnah told us, Sevyu Beis HaParva V'Kodesh HaYosa. They brought him to a lishka called Beis HaParva. The Gemara asks, my parva, why is it called Beis HaParva? Rabbi Yosef answers, Parva Amgusha, which Rashi explains to me in Mechashev Echad Bno'a, there was a Mechashev, a sorcerer that built this Lishka, Ushmoy Parva, his name was Parva. The Rosh, in Meseches Midas, Perakei, Mishnah Gimel, asks that the din is that we're not Mekabel Matonis from Goyim to contribute to the Berak HaBayis, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And based on that question, he says that it must be that this Mechashev was a Yid. It was a Yisroel. Why is it important to mention that this person was a Mechashev? The Bartanura over there in the Mishnah Midas says that the Mechashev actually built this Lishka through Kishev. So the Tais Yontif asks on the Bartanura, how was it possible to maintain in the Beis HaMikdash a binyan that was made through Kishev? If you take a look at the Tiferes Yisrael over there, he says a very interesting thing. He says, as we know, in this Lishka, on the roof, there was a mikvah. The Kohen Gadol used it on Yom Kippur, like we learned over here. And it was necessary to build it in such a way that water was able to go up to the roof and that it didn't passel the water as Mayim She'uvim. And in order for that to happen, you had to build these pipes inside the walls in a certain way that required tremendous skill, and it looked to people who would observe it as if it was done by Kishev, but it doesn't really mean that it was constructed through Kishev. So this is all in the world of Rashi, who explains that when it says in the Gemara, Parva Amgusha, it means that the person who built the Lishka was this Mechashev whose name was Parva. However, Tosfos over here in Dibur Maskil Parva Amgusha brings down the Aruch, who explains differently. He explains that it's not that this man named Parva built the Lishka. Rather, he says, Yesh ben hachachovim sha'imim ki chofar mechilo tachas hakarka. This fellow built a tunnel underneath the karka b'kodesh in order to see the Kohen Gadol doing the avoida in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'hergishu ha'kayhanim b'chafira. The Kayhanim noticed this tunnel that he was building, u'mitza'u, and they found it. V'kara oisa alishka al shmoy. They called this Lishka on this person's name since he was caught with constructing a tunnel. The Siach Yitzchak explains that actually what happened was they killed him because they found him doing this, and that's why it was possible to call it Al Shmoy. He says ordinarily we wouldn't call a Lishka Al Shem Arasha, but since over here it was his demise was met because of what he did, so there is an element of Kiddush Shem Shemayim, and he says that in order that everybody should hear and understand that this isn't the proper thing to do, they gave it this name. Another reason given why they would have named something after Mr. Parva, who built the Lishka on top of the Beis HaParva, is based on the sheet of the Rash. The Rash over there in Midas, on the Mishnah, explains that it was really called Beis HaParva. Parva literally means fur, or the skin of an animal. And in this Lishka, there used to be Ma'abed, the Oiris of Kadoshim. The Kodshim has skins. The skins that they took off the animal, they would be moilich them. They would do the melacha of ibut, which is the whole process of tanning the skins. Now, the Rash says that's why it was called Beis HaParva. However, the reason why they called the Beis HaTevila, which was on top of it, they called it Parva, was because this man, this Megusha, built it. And since the area underneath it was already called Beis HaParva, they gave it a name that was similar to the name of the place that was underneath it. The Mishnah said that Bashachar Hoyalovish Plusin Shal Shneimaser Mana, that at this point in the tefillah that we're learning about in our Mishnah, he used to wear Big Day Pishtun that came from the place called Plusin, which was a very choshev type of Pishtun, and it cost 12 mana. A mana is 100 zuz. So this costs 1,200 zuz. Bein Arbayim, the afternoon, he would have to bring out the kaf and machta from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then he wore begadim of a lesser quality. So Reb Meir holds that it was shmoina meya zuz, and we're going from 1,200 zuz to 800 zuz. V'chachamim oimim b'shachar ha'yoloivish shel shmoina aser mana. In the morning, he wore 18 mana, 1,800 zuz. Ubein Harbayim Shel Shnei Maser Mone. And then Ubein Harbayim, we would go down. That's when he would wear the 12 Mone, the 1200 Zuz. Hakoil Shloishim Mone. The Mishnah explains that everything together added up to 30 Mone. The Gemara asks, why would the Tana have to tell us the arithmetic that it was 30 altogether? Of course, 12 and 18 is 30. The Gemara answers that Hakamash Balon, the Butzer Mehani Loi Navid, Ha'i Butzer Mehani, and Tafi Mehani Leslan Ba. The Tana wants us to understand that there's a Kpeda that altogether it should be worth 30 money. And therefore, if let's say he took for the morning something a little bit less expensive than 18 money, he has to make sure that for the afternoon he pays a little bit extra for the Begadim in the afternoon so that altogether it should add up to 30 money. The Gevurah Sari explains that this is simply a halach lomesh misinai, that altogether it has to be worth 30 mana. In the Avodram, he brings a remez that the reason why he needs shloshim mana is learnt out from the words in the Seder Yom Kippurim. It says five times the word bad. The gematria of the word bad is six. Six times five is 30. The Torah's Kainim says in Parshas Acharei Mois, it says, Umatam loymer yilbash yachgar v'yitznaif. The Pasuk says that Ksonis bad kodesh yilbash. He should also yachgar with an avnate, bad, and mitznefes bad yitznaif. He should wear a hat made out of bad. So the question is, why does it have to say yilbash yachgar v'yitznaif? Lefisha seifenu l'rabeis loykelum acherim ben arbayim. Since we're going to learn, says the Torah's Kainim, that he has to wear other kelim during the afternoon, let's say he doesn't have other kelim, yochel lo yilbash b'shachris. I may think that if he doesn't have other kelim to change into, so he shouldn't wear b'shachris. Talmud loymer yilbash yachgar v'yitznaif. The Rash Mishantz explains that what was the Havamina to say that he should not wear b'shachris if he doesn't have something to change into ben arbayim? Explains the Rash Mishantz, he means to say that if he's lacking one of these begadim for ben arbayim, so I may think he should save it for ben arbayim and not wear it during the shachris. And the question is, how could I have a Havamina that he wouldn't wear the beged that he needs to wear during shachris? He's going to lack one of the begadim that he needs. So it could be that what we mean to say is, of course, he's not going to work and do the avoda being mechuser begadim. He has to wear all four begadim. But since he doesn't have what to change into in the Bein Arbayim, he should wear the big day lovin that he wears the rest of the year. Even though, of course, the Chatzil is not supposed to do that, like we learned over here, that there is it says four times bad. And Tosis explains over here in Dibra Maschil, bad. That one is Ligufei, to tell me that it has to be Big Day Bad. Another one is Lashon Levad, She'ein Loivesh Imoin Big Day Zov, that you don't wear the Big Day Zov together with these Begadim. And then Ubad Shlishi Loimer Yoiser Toimi Bad Shal Shar Yimai Sashana. It's coming to tell me that he has to wear Begadim that are better than the Begadim that he wears the rest of the year. And of course, Tosfos says that the fourth bad is to tell me that he has to wear begadim that are better than the begadim that he wears ben arbayim. So you see that we learn from a pasuk that the big day loven of Yom Kippur are supposed to be better than the begadim that he wears the rest of the year. However, that could be that only din l'chatchila. So if he doesn't have other begadim, there's a havamina that the beged that he does have he should save for ben arbayim, and the one that he should wear during the shachris is one of the begadim that he wears the entire year. Now the question is, why would the Torah's Kainim suggest that he should save the beggar that he does have for Ben Harbayim, and the beggar that he wears the rest of the year he should use during Shachris? Why don't we say the opposite? Use the beggar that he has for Shachris and change into the beggar that he uses for the rest of the year. Especially since we just said that the beggar that he wears today is going to be more chashiv than the begadim that he wears the rest of the year, and therefore it makes much more sense to say that he should start off with a more chashiv beggar and switch into the less chashiv beggar, like it says Beferish in the Gemara on Amud Beis, that you're supposed to go to begadim that are less chashiv, like we see in the Mishnah, that they're worth less. So how are we to explain this Havamina of the Torah's Kainim? So perhaps we could say as follows. If you take a look at the Gemara in Amud Beis, it explains that you're supposed to wear begadim that are pchusim in the Ben Harbayim, begadim that are of lesser quality in the Ben Harbayim than the begadim in the morning. Rashi says, Lefi she'avoida harishoyna chashuva u'mechaperes. The first avoida is chashuva. It's a more prominent avoida because it's mechaperes. V'zu eino elo lefanis es hamokim. And the avoida that he does in the Ben Harbayim is only to take out the kaf and the machta. He goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to take out the kaf and the machta with new big day lovan, which is because he's dealing with something and less prominent. It's just to clear the area. She'ein kovet shiyu munachim sham. It's not covered to leave the kaf and the machta in the kodesh hakadoshim. So therefore, it's not as important of an avoda, and he uses begadim that are less choshev. The Ritva over there adds something. The Ritva says the famous mashal, an eved does not wear the begadim that he was wearing when he was moizig kois l'rabbi, the beged that he used to serve his master something, at the time that he clears the table. When the eved re-enters the room to take away the kalim that the master used, he has to wear different begadim because now he is no longer engaged in direct service of his master. Now, generally speaking, that is understood to be referring to, on the day of Yom Kippur itself, when he was engaged in the morning in certain avoda, which is doime to being moizikos l'rabbi. If he right away, later, takes away the kaf and the machta, he should be wearing other begadim. However, we can perhaps say, at least explain this havamin of Torah's kainim, that if the kohen gadol were now to wear, during the Bein Arbayim, when he takes out the kaf and the machta, begadim that he wore the rest of the year, you have the same problem. Because he's wearing begadim that he used while he was serving his master, because the rest of the year he's engaged in avoida of matana, not avoida siluk, he's engaged in avoida of aktara and avoida sadam, etc. And now he's just clearing the table. So perhaps we could say that the Torah kind of didn't want to say that if he only has one set of special begadim, he should wear them during the Shachris, even though they're more chashiv. And then he'll go and wear, during Bein Arbayim, the begadim that he wore the rest of the year, because the rest of the year he was engaged in Avodas Matana, and now he's engaged only in Avodas Siluk. And it's not Derech Eretz to use begadim that he used already the rest of the year to serve his master, and then go use the same begadim to be Mesalek, the Kaf and the Machta. Now, of course, it comes out a very big Kiddush, because now what's going to happen is that he's going to be changing from less chashev begadim. I mean, during the Shachris, he's going to be wearing begadim that he wore the rest of the year, and he's going to change into more chashev begadim. But you could say that there are two inyanim. Besides the fact that you're supposed to wear less chashev begadim, there is an inyan not to wear the same begadim that you wore when you were serving your master. And that second point is more compelling than the first point. So therefore, if you have a choice between saving the begadim that are special for Yom Kippur, thereby being mekayim the second point that you are not going to use the begadim that used all year for this avoida that is clearing away the kalim, or using the special begadim for the morning avoida, and thereby being mekayim the din that you're using less chashev begadim, but not being mekayim the din that you're supposed to wear different begadim than the rest of the year, you should opt to wear different begadim than the rest of the year and not be mekayim the din of wearing less chashev begadim. Now, we can ask, what exactly is the maskana of the Torah's Kainim? The Torah's Kainim brings the pasuk of Yilbish Yachgar V'Yitznoif to tell me that even though you're lacking one of the begadim, you still should wear it in the morning. So once you do wear it in the morning, what do you do now during the Bein Harbayim? That it doesn't say in the Torah's Kainim. It's possible that you're supposed to switch into the begadim that he wears all year, because even though with that he will have a problem with the idea that he uses those begadim all year for serving to his master, and now he's using the same begadim for clearing away the kaf and the machta. However, if you don't say that, so then he'll use the same begadim used in the morning, and he'll run into the same problem. So maybe it's even better to show a difference on Yom Kippur itself between the Avodas Shachris and the Avodas Bein Harbayim. It's interesting to note that the Shita of the Rambam seems to be different than the other Rishonim. The Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Perek Ches, Halacha Gimel, seems to say that the din to switch from the begadim that he's wearing in the morning to the afternoon is only said legabe the Ksoinis. The other begadim he did not change. The Gemara says, Tani Rav Huna bar Yehuda v'Amar lo Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. Achar shekol sa'avodas tzibur, after the avodas tzibur was finished, which seemingly means the avoda that was done on the behalf of the tzibur, on Yom Kippur, Koyen sha'asa loy imoy, kesoines, loivsha. A koyen whose mother made for him a special kesoines, he's allowed to wear it, v'ovid bo avodas yachid. What does avodas yachid mean? Rashi learns that Avodas Yachid over here refers to the Haitzah of the Kaf and the Machta, what we've been discussing until now. And the reason why it's called Avodas Yachid, Rashi says, She'ena tzricha l'tzibur, el l'fisha mutel salal l'fanis es hamokam l'fikach kar l'Avodas Yachid. Meaning, avodas yachid is a term used for anything that's not specifically an avodas tzibur. It's not an avodas tzibur because it's not necessary for the tzibur, so we call it an avodas yachid. But in actuality, it is an avodas tzibur, and that's why the Gemara continues by saying, "Bovachim serena l'tzibur." The Kohen Gadol has to give it over to the tzibur. The soif says Rashi me avodas tzibur he. It is an avodas tzibur. Rashi then brings another pshat that he heard, but he doesn't like. He says avodas yachid is called mikra parsha, the laning of the parsha, which we learn in the Mishnah. Koyre beitzlis lavan mishaloi. He's allowed to lane the parsha. He's allowed to read from the Torah in his own beged. Rashi doesn't like this pshat because he says kashli. It doesn't say over there in the Mishnah that you have to give it over to the Tzibur. The Ritva says that this in and of itself is not such a taina because it could be that the Braisa explains that which the Mishnah didn't explain. However, other Rishonim also are doicha the pshat that Rashi brings from his Rabbeim, the Tazishonim, later on Daf Samachesma Beis, also says that this can't be the pshat because he understands the words itzlis lovan mishaloi, that it says by the Kriyas HaTorah that the Kohen Gadol read, itzlis lovan is a different type of beged than the rest of the Big Day Kahuna, than the Big Day Lovan that the Kohen wore the rest of the day. Itzlis lovan shows you that we're not talking about a regular ksoinis like we're talking about in this price over here. The Meiri explains actually that when it says avodis yachid over here, it means kipshutai, a regular avodis yachid. A person brings his own karbonis, like nedarim and nedavos. Meaning that the Kohen Gadol, when he brings his own karbonis, not on Yom Kippur, is allowed to be avid with begadim that he himself brought and made hektish. Now, one thing we have to ask, it's mavur over here that al kol ponim, at least for avodas tzibur, you're not allowed to make your own begadim and use them, even if you're going to give them over to the tzibur. And the question is, why? The Taz Yishanim, Taz Rosh ask over here, why is it any different than ketoris? We learn in Krisis, Daf Hamad Aleph, that a person could be makter ketoris if a yachid made it and gave it over to the tzibur. So why would the Big Day Kahuna be any different? Now, the truth be told, the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Perkes Halacha Zayin, says beferish, Yachid shehisnadev beged mi Big Day Kahuna, Moiser Oisoi, a Yachid that donated a beged from the Big Day Kahuna, Moiser Oisoi Letzibur, he could give it over to the Tzibur Umutter, and you could use it. The Mishnah Lamelech says that the Rambam was doiche our Sugya from the Halacha, because in our Sugya it's mavur that you cannot do this. You have to use the Tzibur's funds to purchase the beged, and you cannot buy your own beged and give it over to the tzibur. He says that the reason why the Rambam was doiche our sugya from halacha is because the Rishalmi in Shkolim, Perik Dalet, Halacha Aleph, says beferish that it helps mesira to the tzibur from a person's own rechush. However, perhaps we could miyashiv the question both on our sugya from the sugya we mentioned in Krisis Dafei that you could bring the ketoris from a yachid, and also the question that we ask from the Rambam, who says that a yachid be misnadiv, a beged from Bitei Kahuna, how does that work together with our sugya? We could say, based on the Meiri in our sugya, the Meiri says that there's a difference between a person who's makdish the beged and immediately gives it over to the tzibur. That helps for all avoidus, and that's similar to the Gemara in Krisis Bakhtoiris. A person who gives it away to the tzibur immediately, there's no problem with him. Our sugya is talking about a person who, as soon as he was makdish, he kept it for himself. Such a person, he wants to later give it over to the tzibur when he wants to be oivid. He wants to give it over to the tzibur. We're choshe shem aloyim serena yafa, like the gloshen of our Gemara. Now, we have to ask the following question. We explained that Rashi's shita is that the haitzos kaf v'amachta is really avodas tzibur. Rashi says that loshen. He says, "Uvavachim zrenu letzibur desoif soif me'avodas tzibur hi." So it is considered an avodas tzibur. We don't call it an avodas tzibur. We call it an avodas yachin because it's not an avoda hatzrich letzibur for their kapara. But the question is, mimonavshach, if it really is an avodas tzibur, which is why it says "Uvavachim zrenu letzibur," then why is it that we don't have the chashash that shema lo yimserena letzibur yafa? Just like we obviously have a problem with a regular avodas tzibur, because it says only achar shekolsa avodas tzibur he's allowed to use this beged that his mother made for him. Why can't he use for a regular avodas tzibur his own beged that he gives over to the tzibur? Obviously, because we have the problem of shema lo yimserena yafa. So if we do have the problem legabe a regular avodas tzibur shema lo yimserena yafa, then why don't we have that problem legabe what we call avodas yachid, which Rashi explains to mean leitzos kach v'amachta, which is an avodas tzibur, just that the tzibur doesn't have kapar from? What is the difference? So in the same Shmuas Chaim, he says a beautiful pshat to explain our Gemara. He says that any avodas tzibur, which provides kapara for the tzibur, there is a problem. In the event that the kohen didn't actually give it over yafe, he didn't have a lev shalom when he gave it over to the tzibur, then it will come out that the kohen was really mechuser begadim, because he didn't really have the begadim that he was supposed to have. There's a din that has to be mishal tzibur. And if he didn't give it over yafe, it's considered halachically as if he's lacking begadim. And if he's mechuser begadim, then the avoda that he did for the tzibur is puzzle. They weren't yoytzer, that avoida, it's not possible to passel that avoida and say that somebody wasn't yotze der chiyuv because it doesn't provide kapara for the tzibur. Now, even though he has to wear the bigdei kahuna, that's a chiyuv on the kohen himself. It's a chiyuv on the gavra. It's not a chiyuv mitzad the avoida, that this is something that has to be accomplished with bigdei kahuna, because there's no accomplishment that is taking place. It's not a kapara. It's a din that the kohen, in order to do this avoida, he has to be wearing the bigdei kahuna. Now, legabe the kohen himself, to be mekayim the din on the gavra, we believe him for his own dinim. If he himself knows that he was moiser at yafe, he's allowed to trust himself and take it out. The tzibur can't come to him with a taina that maybe you weren't moiser yafe because it's his own din. So when it comes to the tzibur's dinim, he has to work on behalf of the tzibur. The tzibur will not allow him because they have the chashash that maybe he didn't give it over yafe. But when it's negeh his own din, then he can trust himself, and that's why he's allowed to use begadim that he gave over to the tzibur. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, ani v'asher v'rasha bayin ledin. The ani, the asher, and rasha will all come ledin. And the Braisa goes on to explain that none of them have a taina, because each one has somebody to be machiach against them. The ani has Hillel HaZaken, who was an ani and still was Isaac B'Torah. The asher has Rabbi Lazar ben Charsim, who was Isaac B'Torah, even though he was a big asher. And the rasha has Yosef HaTzadik, who had tremendous nisyonis with Eishes Potifar. The Shla Kaddish in his Maseches Shvuos explains that our Gemara chooses to describe the Boyin Ladin Legabe Oisik B'Torah. It says on each one of them that the Rebbeinu Shlom will come to them with a taina, how come you were not Oisik in Torah? And the Shla Kaddish explains over there that we have to understand what exactly is the Havamina. Why do I need to be Machiach from Hillel HaZaken and from Blazer Charsim and Yosef HaTzadik to show that they did the wrong thing? They know that they did the wrong thing. They should have been Isaac B'Torah. And if their taina is that they had an oinus, so we don't have to show from Yosef HaTzadik or from the others that this was not an oinus. We just point to the fact that the person's lying to himself. It wasn't an oinus if the person had the ability to be Isaac B'Torah. So he learns that each one of these people really wants to pater himself from the tevia on Limud HaTorah based on the fact that he was being Isaac in a different mitzvah. The Asher Tainas that he may not have learned, but he was machzik yedei loim de Torah. And as such, he was not mechuyev to be Oisik himself in Torah. And that's why he says that all of the time that I spent being Oisik in being becoming an Asher and gathering more money was betzedek, because I was trying to be machzik yedei Torah. And that's why we show him somebody who was definitely machzik Torah a lot, Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim, and nevertheless he made sure that he was Isaac and Torah yom v'layla. The ani tainas that even though he wasn't Isaac and Torah, he nevertheless is considered as if he was Isaac and Torah, because the inyan of Torah, he says, is Torah's chesed. Like the Gemara says in Sukkah daf mem tesem beis, that ezeu Torah's chesed ze aloim et Torah umalamda. And it says, Matztikei harabim kikoychovim lo'olam void, Elohei malamdi tinoikis. Malamdi tinoikis are matztikei harabim. And therefore the ani says that since I am Tereach to support my family, I'm considered amongst the Matztikei harabim. I'm doing it for others, because Chazal say in Ksubas Daf Nun Amud Aleph, Oisit Tzedakah B'chol Eis is referring to a person who supports his family. Ze'azon banov b'nei beisik shem ketanim. So his taina is that I spent my whole life working very hard to support my family, and therefore I'm pater from being Isaac and Torah. Hillel is mechayev such a person. And finally he says, the Rasha, we're not talking about a person who actually does Averis B'poyel. We're talking about a person who has a natural netiya towards bad things. His teva is something that he has to overcome, and he has to work very hard to be koivish his taivas. this person says, I didn't have to learn Torah, because he says the whole tachlis of Eska Torah is in order that a person should come to be Mizgaber over his Yetzirah, Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin. Since I was Mekayim, this Inyan, because I was Mizgaber over my Yetzirah, it says, if I was Isaac in Torah, I got to the same point that the Torah brings a person, Al Yidei, being Mizgaber over my Yetzirah. Says the Shlomo, even such a person, Yosef, is mechayiv him, because even though Yosef was goyver on his taivis, nevertheless, he's called ben zikunim, which means that he learned Torah from Yaakov Avinu, all of the Torah that Yaakov Avinu learned from Shem ve'Aver. The Gemara relates this famous story about Hillel that was, he always used to be Oisik in his parnasa, and half he would use for his family, half he would use to give to the Shemra Pesach at the Beis HaMedrash. One day he didn't have enough money, so he went on top of the Beis Medrash to listen to the Divrei Elikim Chaim from Shmaya Vavtalion. And as the Gemara relates, Sheleg went on top of him, and he was almost killed. And Shmaya Vavtalion saved him, and they said, Ro'i zeh l'chalal olavis ha-Shabbos. This person is ro'i to be mechalal Shabbos for. And the obvious question is that everybody is ro'i l'chalal olavis ha-Shabbos. Pekuach nefesh were doiche Shabbos for anybody's nefesh. The Ion Yaakov on Ein Yaakov answers this question by saying that it would have been possible to understand that since Hillel did it to himself, he's like a ma'abed atzmi l'das, a person who is suicidal. He brings himself to sakana. You don't have to be mechal Shabbos for that person. So when they said roi zel chal olavis haShabbos, what they meant was that even though an ordinary person would be considered a ma'abed atzmi l'das in such a case, nevertheless Hillel, it was clear from his avas haTorah that he very firmly believed that the Torah would protect him. And since the Torah would protect him, it's not considered a ma'abed atzmi l'das. However, if you take a look at the Ha'aris from Rebbe Yashiv, he asks that this is not considered a regular case of Ma'abed Atzmi L'das. Ma'abed Atzmi L'das is somebody who goes out of his way to end his own life. Over here, Hillel had an interest in doing a specific thing. It just happens to be that that thing involved a sakana, but that's not called Ma'abed Atzmi L'das. The Ion Yaakov obviously holds that if a person willingly puts himself into a makam sakana, even if that's not his objective, but he's still called it Ma'abed Atzmi L'das, and that's why he says it's only somebody like Hillel that we could say about him that he was not being Ma'abed Atzmi L'das because he knew that the Torah would protect him. From our story, that it says that Hillel used to take half of what he earned and use that for his parnosis anche beisai, and then the other half he would give away to the Shomer HaPesach by the Beis Medrash so that he could come in and learn Torah. The Chafetz Chaim says in Lukutei Halachas that from here you see that even though in all other mitzvahs there's a halacha that, let's say, by tzedakah, it says, HaMevazvez Ayivazvez Yosem Mechomish, he's not allowed to give away more than a fifth of his nechasim, but that's only true with the regular tzedakah. But when it comes to haitzoyis for Talmud Torah, then, since we're dealing with a davar nitzchi, and he's mechuyev to know the Torah, he chayev lenetzach, so he has to spend all his money. Perhaps we can give an alternative teretz, and that is that the Gemara says that kom zeinosif shel adam k'suvim lo mirosh hashanah ad rosh hashanah. The Gemara in the first parak of Baba Basra says that all a person's mezoinis, all of his parnasa, is k'suvim lo mirosh hashanah ad rosh hashanah. It's already determined how much money he's going to make during that year from Rosh Hashanah, except for, says the Gemara, except for the haitzoyis of Shabbos and Yom Tovim, and haitzoyis banav l'Talmud Torah. So if haitzoyis for hiring a malamed for his son for Talmud Torah is not included, then certainly his own Talmud Torah is not included, and therefore it would not fit into the rule of ha-mevazvez, ayivazvez, yoyse mechoymish. It happens to be that the Chofetz Chaim goes a step further in Avos Chesed, Perek Chof, Ois Dalet, he says, b'shem, b'shitim kubetzes, that even for the hachzokas Torah of others, it's not shayach the klal of ha-mevazvez, ayivazvez, yoyse mechoymish. A person is allowed to spend more than a chaymish of his nechasim, even though he's not allowed to spend it for mitzvahs, he's not allowed to spend it for tzedakah, but for hachzokas Torah, you're allowed to. The question is asked that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba betrunya im b'riyosev. How can we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come with a taina on a person? Why weren't you in the darga of Hillel or Yosef HaTzadik or Belozer ben Charsim? Everybody is given certain koiches, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what a person's limitations are. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichas Musar, in the year Tavshin Lamed Gimel, Maimer Lamed Beis, an extremely powerful thought. He says that Chazal are teaching us that when Hashem is teveya a person for the avoin bittul Torah, lo asid lavoi, he comes to him not only based on the madrega that the person is at that moment, rather Hashem is teveya him even on that which he could have been masig had he found ways to increase his ava, his tshuka, his thirst for Torah. Because we all know that if a person would really have the proper thirst for Torah, then his parameters, his gvulim, his limitations would be expanded. And so it may be true that a regular person doesn't have the koiches that Rabbi Lazar ben Charsim, Hillel, and Yosef HaTzadik had. Nevertheless, Hashem will tell the person that you could have increased your avas haTorah. Had you increased their cheshik, the koiches that you have would have been different. You would have been a different person. And this is something that should talk very loudly to each and every one of us. Because we may feel like we're not capable of reaching great heights in Torah, but that's only because of the koiches that we currently have. There is the ability for a person to break out of his limitations if he were to work on increasing his cheshkas haTorah, his avas haTorah, and his thirst for divrei Torah. And the person is not even going to recognize the neshama that they show him that he could have been. They'll show him, Lo asid lavoi, this is who you could have grown into being. So let us all seek ways to increase our love for Torah. And if we feel that we don't have that love, we could daven for it. We daven for it every day. But a person has to daven with kavanah. V'hara evno Hashem alikenu is divri serascha befinu. If a person davens wholeheartedly, then Hashem will definitely answer his tefillas. The Mishnah says, "Boloi etzel paroi." The Kohen Gadol approached his par. Uparoi hoya oimed bein ha'ulam v'la mizbeach. It was situated in between the ulam and the mizbeach. Roishay la darim ufanav l'mayir. The Gemara later on explains why it was positioned that way. V'akoyin oimed b'mizrach ufanav l'mayir. V'soymech shteyadav olav umisvade. The Kohen Gadol would be soymech. He would do smicha. He would lean his two hands on the animal umisvade, and he would say vidui. The Mikdash David in Simen Chav Dalet, Sifkat and Beis, discusses what exactly is the Hagdara of this Din Smicha. There are two ways that we can understand the Halacha of Soymech Shtei Yadav Olav Umisvada that it says in our Mishnah. One way is it could be understood as a Halacha in Vidui. Vidui is something that requires Smicha at the time that you're being Misvada. And the other way to understand is that we're talking about a Smicha that's Mehilchas HaKarban. Because he says that you can't say that the reason why you're doing smicha is simply because of the vidui. And vidui has a special din that it needs smicha. Because the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Mem requires a pasuk to teach us that the Par Yom Kippurim needs smicha. It says over there, "Fishloi lomadu l'Par Yom Kippurim l'smicha l'shiyar adam minayin tamad loimer kain yaseh." And the question is the Mikdash David. Why would you need a pasuk? It says vidui by the Par Yom Kippurim. So if we know that he has to do vidui, so then we automatically would know that he has to do smicha. It's muchach, says the Mikdash David, that it's possible to do vidui without smicha. It's not a din in vidui. If it wouldn't be possible to do vidui without smicha, you wouldn't need a pasuk. If that's the case, says the Mikdash David, then it should need only one smicha, like all other karbonis. All karbonis need one smicha. Why do we need to have twice smicha? We do smicha bevidui rishin and smicha bevidui sheni. We should theoretically say that only the vidui sheni needs smicha, just like every karbon needs smicha prior to the shechita. The din is that immediately preceding the shechita, you need to do smicha. Tekef l'smicha shechita. Shechita follows the smicha immediately. And furthermore, he says, since there is a din of tekef l'smicha shechita, and that's a din d'oraisa, so then the first smicha shouldn't be a good smicha, because the smicha that you do then is not tekef l'shechita. And there's a halacha that the smicha must be right next to the shechita. It's not only a halacha in shechita that it must follow a smicha. It's also a halacha in smicha that it must be immediately preceding a shechita. So this smicha that you're doing now, before the shechita, how is it a kosher smicha? And another question that he asks is that in the Gemara later, on Daf Nun, there's a Shakavitarya, whether the par Yom Kippurim is a carbon yachid or it's a carbon tzibur. Do we consider it a par, a carbon yachid, the kohen's carbon, or is it a carbon tzibur? So asks the Mikdash David, we should be pushed that it's a carbon yachid, because the fact that it needs smicha would point us in the direction of saying that it's carbon yachid. Because there is a halach l'mash misinai that only two carbonis tzibur require smicha, and this is not one of them. So he's asking three questions. Number one, why is it that we need more than one smicha if it's a halacha in the carbon and not a din in the vidui. Number two, the first smicha that you do shouldn't be a good smicha because there's a din in smicha that it needs to be take of l'shchita. Number three, why aren't we poshit from the fact that you need smicha that this is a carbon yachid and not a carbon sibur? So the Mikdash David says that al karchach you have to say that there are really two dinim in the smicha that the Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippur. La'olam, there is smicha, there's an element of smicha which is a din in vidui. Vidui requires smicha. However, the fact that we need a pasuk to say that the Par Yom Kippurim needs smicha, that's because it also has the din of smicha of Shar Karbonis, and the nafkamina from having the second din is that if it would only be for the smicha that is a din in the vidui, you would be able to do the two smichas not at the time of the shechita. You could do the shechita at a later point. But since there's a special pasuk saying that the Par Yom Kippurim needs a din smicha, it means the regular din smicha of Shar Karbonis, a din in the carbon, and therefore it has to be takef, immediately preceding the shechita. So we have two halachas of smicha. The first smicha that's happening in our Mishnah, that he does not yet do the shechita, this din smicha is only halacha in the vidui. The second smicha that you do is a halacha also in the carbon, aside from being a din in the vidui, and that has enough community that it needs to be immediately preceding the shechita. The reason why a requirement in the vidui is that you do smicha, says Mikdash David, because you have to be misvada al hapar, and without doing smicha, the fact that you're standing next to it doesn't make it nicker enough that the vidui is al hapar. And therefore, the Mikdash David is mechadish, an incredible chiddush. He says that we know that there's a halacha in smicha that it has to be b'chol koichai. That's a halacha in every smicha. Smicha must be b'chol koichai. You have to lean with your full koiches. However, says the Mikdash David, the first smicha, since it's not a regular din smicha, which is a halacha in the carbon, it's only a din in the vidui, it would not have to be b'chol koichai. It's just a smicha that facilitates that the vidui should be alapar. Furthermore, he says that although ordinarily smicha is something that's not ma'akev in the carbon, even though it's halacha, it's something that you're supposed to do in the carbon, but it's not ma'akev, but the smicha that's a cheluk of the vidui is ma'akev. And he therefore says that by the Sarei Mishtalech as well, that according to the Mandi Amar, who holds that the vidui of the Sarei Mishtalech is ma'akev, so the smicha would also be ma'akev, even though ordinarily smicha is not ma'akev, but this smicha is tzorech ha'vidui. The Mishnah continues, V'chach hoya oimer, this is what the Kohen Gadol used to say, Ana Hashem. He would mention Hashem's name. What name would he mention? The Rosh in Perek Yom Kippurim, Simen Tes, says that the Das of Haigoin is that he used to say the Shem Shel Mem Beis Oisius. There is a Shem, it's Yadua, that is the Rosh HaTevis of the Tefillah of Ana B'Koyach, that we say the Shem Shel Mem Beis Oisius, and that is the Shem that the Kohen Gadol used to utter when he would say Vidui. However, the Rosh himself holds that he was Maskir, the Shem Shel Dalad Oisius, the Shem Havaya. He says that shame is it's called the shame hamefayrosh, and that is the makor l'chol hashemus. And it's just that the Kohen Gadol at this point would be mazkir it kiksivase the way that it's written, not with the way that we read it. The shame aleph dalad nun yud. Now later in Daf Lamed Tesem Beis, there's Taisi Yeshanim Dibar Maschil Eser who says that they were misaken 10 times that the Kohen Gadol was masker as Hashem Yom Kippurim, says the Taz Yeshanim, Hainu Shem HaMefoyrosh. That is the Shem HaMefoyrosh. The Ilu, Shem Shel Dalet Oisius, HaYomasker Kamapam Mitfilosei. The Shem Havaya, the Shem Shel Dalet Oisius, the Kohen Gadol would be masker many times. So the Takana, to say it 10 times, was going on the Shem HaMefoyrosh. So you see that the Shita of the Taz Yeshanim is like Rav Haigoin, that Shem HaMefoyrosh, when it's used in the context of Yom Kippur, is going on the Shem Shel Mem Beis Oisius, because he says that the other shame, the shame Shel Dalet Oisius, was said many times. However, the Tos Rosh is Mechalik. He says that the 10 times that the Kohen Gadol said the shame on Yom Kippur, he would be maskered kiksivasai, the way that it's written. When he said it the other times during the Tefillah, he would say it in the Lashon of Aleph Dalet. And, of course, that's the Rosh L'Shitase, because we just mentioned that the Rosh argues on Rav Haigoin in Perek Yom Kippurim. Now, it would seem that Rav Haigoin and the Tos Yeshanim are not capable of learning like the Rosh, because they understand that, generally speaking, the Kohen Gadol would say the Shem Havaya in other Tfilas and in Birkas Kohenim, as we'll soon see. And therefore, the only way to understand the special Takana that there were 10 times that the Kohen Gadol would say the Shem HaMefoyrosh had to be talking about a different Shem. Because if you say that it was talking about the Shem Havaya, there would come out to be many more times. As the Mikdash David actually asks in Simon Chav Dalet, at the end of Sivkot and Beis, he says that since the Kohen Gadol used to be masker Shema Mefoirush, even in Asiyas Kapayim, and in the Mikdash they used to say the Shem Kichsavai, then it should come out that there were many more than 10 times that we were saying that shame. So this is probably what forced Rav Haigoin and the Tzitz Shonim to understand that the shame that was used especially on Yom Kippur was the shame Shel Mem Beis Oisius in order not to have this kasha. So they understand that we always said the shame Havaya Bo'isi Oisav in the Beis HaMikdash. So what was special about Yom Kippur that there were only 10 times that you said the shame HaMefoirush had to be a different shame HaMefoirush, and that was the shame Shel Mem Beis. It's the Tzitz Rosh, though, who holds that always we would say the shame Shel Havaya would say in the notion of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. He doesn't have this problem. He understands that what was special about Yom Kippur is that we said the shame Havaya by Si Yosef. Now, how does the Tzitz Rosh deal with Beferish Gemaras, like the Gemara in Soita Daf Lamed Chesamid Aleph that says that the Birkas Koinen was done b'shem HaMefoirush? And the brachas that the Kohen Gadol used to say on Yom Kippur when he would be mevorach on the Sefer Torah also theoretically should have been b'shem HaMefoirush, because all of the brachas that were said in the Beis HaMikdash were supposed to be done b'shem HaMefoirush, and that's why the answer was always Baruch Shem Kavoy Mechusad Lo'olam Voed, as it says in the Gemara in the beginning of the ninth parak of brachas. The answer, says the Mikdash David, is that after Shimon HaTzadik passed away, the Kehanim stopped being mevorach b'shem. So we could still say that the Tzitz Rosh makes sense, because at that point in history, the rest of the brachas were not said with the Shem Havaya Bo'isi Yosef, and it was only 10 times that the Kohen Gadol, even at this point in history, said the Shem Havaya Bo'isi Yosef. And even though after Shimon HaTzadik died, they stopped using the Shem Havaya, but as the Marsha says in Kedushin Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, that it was only the Shar Kehanim that were Nimnu, but not the Kohen Gadol. And the Rishash says in Soita Daf Lamed Chesamid Aleph that the whole reason why they were Nimnu after the Mitzvah Shimon HaTzadik from saying the Shem Havaya is because there was no longer a Gilui Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash like it was before. But on Yom Kippur, he says there was always a Gilui Shechina. Now we have to ask, if you say this distinction between other Kehanim and the Kohen Gadol, and that on Yom Kippur there was a Gilui Shechina, so then we really should go back to the original question on the Shita Sarosh, because if the time of Yom Kippur there was enough Gilui Shechina to say the Shem Havaya like they always used to, so then again there's more than 10 times, because the Kohen Gadol should have been mentioning the Shem Havaya Bo'is Yosef both when he said the Brachas on the Sefer Torah and during Birkas Kohenim. Now the truth is that the Tosis Rid, and later on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, asks this question. He first asks from Birkas Kohenim. He says that there were more than 10 times, because in Birkas Kohenim you would say the shame Bo'is Yosef, and he answers that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur did not do Nesias Kapayim. He then asks from the Brachas that were said in the Parsha, and he leaves it as a Tzarchi, and he doesn't answer his question. So the Tosis Rid really asks, but he doesn't give an answer. So, of course, according to the Tzitzis Yishonim and Rav Haigoin, there's no kasha, because this special quality of Yom Kippur that he said 10 times, the Shem HaMefoirush is referring to the Shem Mem Beis. But according to the Tzitzis Rosh, we're still left wondering why on Yom Kippur weren't there more than these 10 times to say the Shem Havaya Bo'isi Yosef. Now, the truth is, this may be a machloikas. If you take a look at the Gemara in Soita Daf Lamed Chesamid Aleph, it says, Tanya, Koy Sevorchu Es Bnei Yisrael B'Shem HaMefoirush. You're supposed to do Birkas Koinim with the Shem HaMefoirush. Ata Oimer B'Shem HaMefoirush Oyeinoi Elo B'Kinoi. How do you know that it means that the Kahanim say Birkas Koinim with the Shem HaMefoirush? Talmud Loimer V'Samu Es Shmi. Shmi Amyuchadli. Continues the Gemara, it says, Yochel Af Bigvulin Kain. I may think once you say Shvisoma Shmis, the Kainim, wherever they say Birkas Kainim, they should say with the Shem HaMeyuchadli, with the Shem HaMefoirush. The Gemara answers, Nemer Kan Vesomo Es Shmi, Venemer La'alon Lasum Es Shemoi Shom, Ma La'alon Beis HaBechira, Af Kan Beis HaBechira. So there's a limud that the Kainim are only supposed to use the Shem HaMefoirush in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yoshia Omer. Rabbi Yoshia says, "Einoi tzarich." You don't need that limit. Harei Weimer, b'chol makam asher aske shemi ovei elecha, b'chol makam sakadaitach, b'chol makam all over. That's where you're supposed to be manskir the shame of Hashem. Ela mikraze mesurisu, b'chol makam asher ovei elecha uverachticha. Wherever I come and give you a blessing, sham asker es shemoi v'heichan ovei elecha uverachticha beveis habechira. So sham asker shemi beveis habechira. So it sounds like the Lashon of Rabbi Yoshia, that he holds that all brachas in the Beis HaMikdash, you said the shame with the way that it's written. Because he says, Bebeis HaBechira Asker Shmi. In the Beis HaMikdash, there's a din to say the shame Havaya. But according to the Tanakhama, the limit is not B'chol Mokam Asher Asker Shmi Avei Lecha V'Rachticha. The limit is from the Pasuk in the Parsha Birkas Koinim, is somewhere as Shmi HaMiyuchali, which is written only by Birkas Koinim. So according to the Tanakhama, it's only learned in Birkas Koinim where we have a special Kiddush, that you use the Shem HaMiyuchad. But in Yen Shar Brachas, it could be that there's no Yalfusa that you're supposed to use the Shem HaMiyuchad. So Lefizeh, we could come and answer the Rosh. We asked on the Rosh, that how is it possible that there were only 10 times that you said the Shem HaVaya Ba'is Yosef? And we explained that the Tosfos Rid really asks two questions. One question he asks for Birkas Koyanim, and he says that the Kohen Gadol perhaps did not say Birkas Koyanim on Yom Kippur. The second question the Tosfos Rid asks is from Shar Brachas, and he doesn't answer his question. According to what we just saw, the fact that they said the Shem Avaya by Shar Brachas and not just by Birkas Koyanim is really a machloikas Reb Yoshia and the Tanakama in the Braisa in Soita. And therefore, it's very possible that the Rosh is learning that the Braisa that says that there were only Eser Pa'amim, that the Kohen Gadol said the Shem on Yom Kippur, and the Rosh holds that's going on the Shem Avaya, not the Shem Embeis, could be that Braisa, if the Rosh is going like the Tanakama, that all other brachas that you said in the Beis HaMikdash were not with the Shem Havaya. It was only by Birkas Koyanim that we learned that you're supposed to use Shemi Amiyuchadli. And therefore, it comes out that there were only 10 times that you actually said the Shem Havaya on Yom Kippur. It's also possible to answer that the Kriya that the Kohen Gadol did, the Kriya Saparsha that the Tosfos Rid is asking from, was done in the Ezes Noshim as its Mavur later. So since it was done in the Ezes Noshim, that doesn't have the din of Mikdash Le'inyin being masked the Shem HaMafayrish. It's only when you're in the Azara itself that you say the Shem HaMafayrish is supposed to say the Shem Havaya Ba'is Yosef.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.